Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this morning's service. I'd also like to welcome those who will be listening to the recording of the service at home later in the week, and to all visitors who have joined us this morning. Please introduce yourself to any of your neighbours and do sign the visitor's book in the porch. Our service this morning will be conducted by our minister, Robert Jordan, and during the service, the new elders will be ordained. Our reader this morning will be Mike Gordon, and Wally Knight will lead us in our prayers of intercession. Some of you may not have received a weekly news when you entered. Some more have been printed, so please don't forget to pick one up when you leave if you haven't got one. And after the service, please do join us in the back here for tea and coffee. I will now light the Christ candle.
Good morning, all of you, and welcome on this beautiful day. Long may it last. And thank you for being here, for supporting us all on this, which is an important day for Emmanuel Wood Highworth United Reformed Church. And we do have visitors. We have some very young visitors at the back there. And then, yes, hello! And we have some past members who are visiting us again today, and they've wanted to come back and take an hour or so of rest from the chores that we see on Facebook that she complies with. So it's good to see you and feel welcomed and enjoy. And please, if you can, join us for tea and coffee afterwards to say hello, to chat, to catch up. Or, if needed, to share where it hurts this morning and where it didn't hurt yesterday, for example, and things like that that you all know that we can share. Today I decided to use this stone of the collection I have because this is a very particular one. It was given to me when I preached at a church in North Sulawesi in Indonesia. I didn't know then what I do know now. I was a guest preacher. And the church was Emmanuel Church. And they said to me, use it, and when you use it, remind people, they didn't know I was going to be minister of Emmanuel, that there is a small Reformed church in the middle of a small little town in the north of Sulawesi in Indonesia. So I thought today, ordination of elders brings a lot of who we are as the church in the world And it's something that Emmanuel is proud to be part of. So today, this was a gift from the Reformed Church, Emmanuel Church in Indonesia. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits." It's easy to do on a day like today. But God is always with us, even when the sun isn't as beautiful as it is now. Bless my soul, O Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And we will. And we sing from Rejoice and Sing. All hymns today are from Rejoice and Sing. Hymn 292. When morning gilds the skies, we omit verse 2. Join together in prayer, and we will end the Lord's Prayer by sharing. We will end the prayer by sharing the Lord's Prayer all together. You can tell I haven't led worship for 2 weeks, can't you? I'm stumbling. And the candles we light are lit: the Christ candle, the amnesty candle, the peace candle. Let us pray. The day shines, light in all its beauty, reminds us of your presence where light conquers darkness. The candles we light remind us of Christ's presence among us. We are your people in this part of the world, but your people in all the world. We light the peace candle because we are not resigned to the violence of war and destruction. We light the amnesty candle because in this world many suffer and need to know that somewhere in this world there are people who believe that justice and peace and human rights are important. We are your children. And today we rejoice that we have come together. The young and the old, men and women, walked different paths of life, but gathered here today. We are part of your people everywhere. Those that have finished worship because the sun rose earlier. Those that have not got to worship because the sun is not up yet. But we are here today, also as part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches, in communion also with Highworth. Dear God, may your people everywhere rejoice, feel that you are nurturing them, grow together in a world which provides us with so many reasons not to come together. You challenge those stereotypes, and we claim the right to be called God's children. For all those that came before us, that helped us reach this day, for those that will come after us, that we may be those bridges that will connect their lives with your life. For the joys we share, for company in moments of difficulty, for those who know us deeply, and those we barely know. We thank you, dear God, for life. It's so different from what we could plan it out to be. The challenges, the difficulties, the achievements, the hopes, all part of that journey of life. We thank you that today we can celebrate the ordination of those who have said yes to the calling to be elders. We come before you, also with the weight of that which we have done wrong. When instead of speaking out of your love, we have remained silent. For the times we have not corrected mistakes. Lord, you see us. You know us. We trust in your grace, a forgiving, marvelous, wonderful, transforming grace. Be with us. Forgive us and restore us. And lead us forward. New people, accepted in your grace and your love. To you be all the honor and the glory. And we say together, as Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I apologize, but the words that are going to follow are words that have to be said. And it is an ordination of eldership. Through baptism, members of the church are called to serve God in the world, to proclaim the love of Christ by the way they live. Some are called to particular responsibilities as ministers of word and sacraments. And in the United Reformed Church, some are called to be elders, to share with the minister in the pastoral oversight and leadership of the local church. Today, according to the decision of the church meeting, we are to ordain Kerry Bevan and Anne Hopkin to the office of elder, and to induct them to serve in this congregation. Jesus Christ continues his ministry in and through the church, the whole people of God, called and committed to service. To equip them for this ministry, he gives particular gifts and calls some of his servants to exercise them in offices duly recognized by the church. Some, as we said, are called to be ministers of word and sacrament. Others are called to be elders. Elders share with a minister in the pastoral oversight and leadership of the local church. To each is normally entrusted a group of members. In the elders' meeting, they take counsel together for the whole church. They are responsible for making provision for Christian worship and education, for maintaining the proper standards of membership, for promoting witness and service in the community, mission at home and abroad, and the peace, unity, and welfare of the church. It is their duty to arrange for the proper maintenance of the church buildings and to ensure the oversight of church finances. Some elders represent the church locally in wider councils of the church, and by virtue of their membership of these councils, represent the whole church to the local church. Elders elected at church meeting are ordained to their office and inducted to serve for such period as the church which they have been elected to defines. Their ordination and induction is an act of the church. It is right at this time to share in the statement concerning the nature, faith, and order of the United Reformed Church and to identify ourselves with it. Don, as church secretary, will read the statement concerning the nature, faith, and order of the United Reformed Church.
If anyone wishes to follow the text while I'm reading, you will find it in your hymn book at 761. With the whole Christian Church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sorry, I should have asked, please do open your hymn books at 761, because I've just got to the spot where we would like the congregation to respond. The congregation is asked to respond to those parts in bold print. So 761, please. And I shall start again. With the whole Christian Church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The living God, the only God, ever to be praised.
The life of faith to which we are called is the Spirit's gift, continually received through the Word, the sacraments, and our Christian life together.
We acknowledge the gift and answer the call, giving thanks for the means of grace.
The highest authority for what we believe and do is God's Word in the Bible, alive for his people today through the help of the Spirit.
We respond to this Word, whose servants we are, with all God's people through the years.
We accept with thanksgiving to God the witness to the Catholic faith in the Apostles' and Nicene Creeds. We acknowledge the declarations made in our own tradition by Congregationalists, Presbyterians, and Churches of Christ, in which they stated the faith and sought to make its implications clear.
Faith alive and active, gift of an eternal source, renewed for every generation.
We conduct our life together according to the basis of union, in which we give expression to our faith, in forms which we believe contain the essential elements of the Church's life, both Catholic and Reformed. But we affirm our right and readiness, if the need arises, to change the basis of union and to make new statements of faith in ever new obedience to the living Christ. our crucified and risen Lord, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection. Held together in the body of Christ through the freedom of the Spirit, we rejoice in the diversity of the Spirit's gifts and uphold the rights of personal conviction. For the sake of faith and fellowship, it shall be for the Church to decide when differences of conviction hurt our unity and peace. We commit ourselves to speak the truth in love and grow together in the peace of Christ. We believe that Christ gives his Church a government distinct from the government of the state. In the things that affect obedience to God, the Church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. Civil authorities are called to serve God's will of justice and peace for all humankind, and to respect the rights of conscience and belief. While we ourselves are servants in the world, as citizens of God's eternal kingdom, we affirm our intention to go on praying and working with all our fellow Christians for the visible unity of the Church in the way Christ chooses, so that people and nations may be led to love and serve God and praise him more and more forever. Source, guide, and goal of all that is, to God be eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you. Could I ask Anne and Kerry to come forward, please? Can you give them one? It's always better when there's more than one. It's very lonely sometimes if it's only one. Thank you both for having said yes when you were approached to consider being elders, and the church meeting that voted for you. You probably thought at that moment, oh no, what have I done? If you're honest, you may have thought of that. But here you are today. These questions to both of you. Do you accept the statement that has just been read and confess again your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? In dependence on God's grace, do you affirm your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you promise to follow him and to seek to do and to bear his will all the days of your life? Do you believe that the Word of God in the Old and New Testaments, discerned under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is the supreme authority for the faith and conduct of all God's people? Do you accept the office of elder of the United Reformed Church in this congregation, and do you promise to perform its duties faithfully? Thank you. You both have very different gifts, and that is a gift in itself. We thank you and we thank God for those gifts that you have and for the various ministries in the church. We thank God for all women and men of faith and integrity who have served this local church over so, so many years. We thank you, Anne and Kerry. And this is a prayer for each of you in its own time. Can I just empower Anne with your Holy Spirit. Give her humility and grace so that by her faithfulness she may show your love to your people in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Kerry, empower Kerry with your Holy Spirit. Give her humility and grace so that by her faithfulness she may show your love to your people in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. In your name, O God, and trusting it to be your will, we now ordain Anne and Kerry to be elders. A new congregation, they would not be standing here if you had not expressed your trust in them. Do you, as members of the local church, accept and receive Anne and Kerry to be elders among you?
We do.
Will you encourage and support them and respond to their ministry, acknowledging that it comes to you from God?
We will.
Eternal God, you have called us all to serve you in the world and to share your love with each other and our neighbours. Through the decision of this local church, you have called Kerry and Anne to serve as elders. Give them the promised blessings of the Holy Spirit. Fill them with fresh vision and courage to lead us in the work you have called us to do. Make them wise in the mind of Christ. Give them the gifts they need to fulfill this service faithfully. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Liz, would you like to come forward and join them? Liz returns to the eldership, having been elder before. So at this moment, we want to recognize that it's not each on your own. You are part of a team with others, and the team of the church, the congregation. Liz, Anne, Kerry, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and according to the decision of the church meeting, I declare you to be ordained and inducted to serve as elders and welcome you into this office, in confirmation of which I shake your hand. I might even give you a hug. Don't be afraid. Kerry. Thank you very much. And Don will, as church secretary, present the appropriate certificates for our new elders.
Yeah. Well, there's no certificate for Liz. I'll shake your hand.
Thank you. Yes, welcome. And can we now join in singing the words of the blessing in hymn 420? Yes, you can go back and feel safe. Thank you for sharing this moment, which doesn't finish here. It begins and continues as part of the history of this church, which is older than any of us, and let's hope younger than that which is still to come. At this time of the service, we now share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. We give you thanks, O Lord, for this offering on these plates, but also for that which we give in time and talents in our possessions in different ways. We dedicate the food box at the back, which will be taken to help those who have little or nothing, that the gifts of God may be multiplied to serve God's people. Amen. And let us share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. That's the anthem that will be sung by the choir.
Our Bible reading this morning can be found in the Bible New Testament, page 34, and it is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Mark chapter 2. Jesus went out again beside the lake. The whole crowd gathered round him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mike, for guiding us in the reading. Hymn 499, "Have Faith in God, My Heart." Your word speaks, as it has over the ages. Give us the guidance to interpret what it is saying to us today, so that in our today we may respond and live accordingly. Amen. Today is a truly special day for our churches. Most of the churches of the United Reformed Church haven't a clue of what's just happened here, spread over the country. They are going through their own business. But they don't know that two elders have been added to the group of faithful women and men serving God. Don't think it's something that only happens to Emmanuel with Highworth. We are part of a team of elders of past, present, and yet to come. And I am convinced that everybody at one time or another feels the pressure of the role. More than once you will ask the question, "Can I do this?" And I only have one answer. Please, please, trust the church gathered as a church meeting in the process of discerning, of calling, of voting, and today both ordaining and inducting. You are a larger part of what is going on, both those who stood here at the front and those who have been praying for you sitting in the church today. Preparing for this service, I came across a wonderful thought which I believe matured and nurtured the words of the Bible reading we've just heard. God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. Mark Batterson, a church minister and author from Washington, D.C. And I pray this may guide elders and the church and all of us on the journey of life and faith. Because if God only called the qualified, who would that be? But if God qualifies the called, not one of us is away from this. And so, according to the reading today, we come face to face to one of the most controversial acceptance stories of the gospel. Because this is truly a scandalous moment. A Jewish collector of Roman taxes becomes part of those called by Jesus. And how long does it take for the scandal to begin? 15 seconds? 30 seconds? But wow, it comes in power and strength. To all intents and purposes, Levi is a traitor. He's collecting taxes for the occupation power. Quite probably he is also a thief, adding to the taxes he collects from the people his share. Rome expects him to hand over X amount, but quite probably he is collecting X plus. Everybody knew this. A surplus for their own benefit. So what is Jesus doing in this scene? What's he saying in this scene? The issue, very early on in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and there are only 14 chapters left to come to the end of it, more or less, is abundant grace. Grace in all its abundance, which is wonderful when we are the recipients. Finally, they realize sort of thing. Yes, why wouldn't it be for me? But it's much more difficult when that abundant grace touches the lives of those we have serious issues with. A person like Levi. Even Paul, who was renowned for being a persecutor of the church. I mean, come on. Of all the people, God, you must know others who are more worthy of this. And we've fallen into the trap. If worthiness were the reason, it would be a very small group of people. This is what makes this reading so wonderful. God's grace is all-embracing. It is not a limiting grace. And the final verse of the reading, just towards the end of it, has the answer to the haunting question. Why is Jesus changing the accepted practices of centuries? Anybody who served the enemy was not fit for the family of God's people. A tax collector for Rome was definitely in that category. And Jesus ends the reading by saying, fresh skins for new wine, or else they will break and everything will be wasted. Run the risk of grace and faithfulness. Jesus is completely new in his approach to life, taking matters to a level they had never been before. And that's why, very early on in his ministry, he is opposed. And we should be encouraged still today by this newness. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners, those who need healing, those who seek forgiveness. And where don't we fit in that category? Where could we not say, yes, I fit into one of those groups? A new door is opened, one we are called to walk through in confidence. And that door has one name over it, acceptance. Through the grace of God, we are accepted. And it is what God sees in us, and not what we see in ourselves or in others, that is important and central. This is the gift we receive. God's acceptance. We need healing. We need forgiveness. We need to be cured. And that's what he came for. This is the miracle we have faced, come face to face with this morning. We know each other well. And we could all find dozen of reasons why I would not want to be an elder, don't feel qualified for it, or good enough. But what does God say to that? And today you've heard the I do from two people who in this time of their life felt called. And please remember that Kerry and Anne aren't the only two elders. There's Liz in it as well, but there's the whole group. Also added to those who are non-serving elders and people that welcome you at the front door or have prepared the tea and coffee we'll be sharing in a moment, who have put up tables and take tables down. It's the act of love by which we are recognized as God's loved people. So yes, may we feel that God wants to qualify us. And that's why he has called us. And to God be the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hymn 531, Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust ever childlike no cares could destroy.
Thank you.
ministry that Emmanuel has, and while he is walking towards part of that ministry now, it's the ministry of prayer. We have a prayer group that meets. Always remember that if there is any need, there will be people who are willing to pray for you and with you. While he is part of that team, as you know, every two Sundays, somebody stands there and leads the congregation in intercession prayer, and it's not the minister. And every 2 weeks, the prayer group meets to share concerns. That is part of the talents and the gifts that God has given. Wally, lead us in prayer, please.
Dear Lord, you said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We pray first for every person trying to promote peace between individuals, families, and even nations. May they be really listened to and given extra strength for their very special task. With elections coming soon, and not just in this country, we ask that those who seek to be elected would really wish to serve in their roles and seek justice and fairness and not power for themselves. And in an increasingly secular world, we pray for every person seeking to further your kingdom. May they have wisdom and a strong faith to do your will. We pray too for all our churches to be really welcoming and a strong focus for our communities. And it seems we hear almost daily about climate change. We may feel we are doing little for our planet, but let us be encouraged to do whatever we can. Every little counts. We know of many who are going through difficult times. We pray that they and all those looking after them may have extra patience and strength for their task. We think of them now in the silence. And finally, let us not forget the many blessings that you bestow on us. Let us ponder on them for a few moments. We bring all of these, our prayers, to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 558, "Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name?" You come and follow me if I but call your name. If you want what you to do, you know you are saying, will you let the world go? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown on you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind? It'll never be the same. Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found
to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound and you in me. Although someone's echoes me when I but call your name, let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, will the love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me.
Feel hope. Feel joy. Feel challenged. And when you feel overwhelmed, remember that you aren't alone. That God, through Jesus, has shown us new ways. That even for Jesus, he was challenged, as if doing that which is wrong but being faithful to God is a task that has been entrusted to us all. And may the grace of God, in all its abundance, be with you, with those you love, and with the people of God everywhere. Go also in peace to love and serve the Lord this day, all days, until the end of all times. Peace be with you. Amen.